Bird's Eye View is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com. BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
And welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This is your official source for a lack of insight and basis opinion on Orioles baseball. Tonight is September 30th, 2013. This is episode 55. I am Scott Magnus, and I'm here with my big boy color commentator, Jake English. You can find us at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. You can also find us on the Baltimore Sports Report Network. You can find us at baltimoresportsreport.com/network. Search us on iTunes, pull us up on Facebook, look for us on other social media sites such as Miro, Stitcher, Double Twist, and all kinds of other cool gadgets that those young 13 and 14-year-old boys are listening to right now. And again, follow us on Twitter at BirdseyeView, B-A-L. So Jake, we've concluded the 2013 season, but before we get to that, let's go to the drink of the week.
All right, the drink of the week. I think we may have started this way. I'd have to go to the tape, but as you know, my level of preparation is not as such.
Preparation editing? What?
No, not so much. I am going with a fine gin and tonic. And you?
I am going with a fine gin and tonic as well, since I didn't bring any alcohol over.
Now, here's the thing.
I'm still kind of recovering, to be fair.
I am going to out you here.
Okay.
In honor of our Sister Wives podcast, the Orioles Spastics, I was planning on making some gin Palmers this evening, but I found something out about you this evening, which I think is troubling. And okay, why don't you just go ahead and tell the listeners what you told me earlier?
I don't like iced tea.
All right, this is...
Or lemonade.
You know, Scott, one or the other, there may be
hope. Or coffee.
There may be hope for you. I don't like coffee either.
Yeah.
Lemonade and iced tea? What's wrong with you?
I just must have got a bad batch as a kid.
No kidding.
Crystal Light, absolute garbage.
So, the drink of the week this week is...
gin and tonic. Something I can stand. Lemonade and iced tea? Blech.
Man, I'm so embarrassed to be doing this with you right now.
If I ever come across Arnold Palmer, bam, right across the face.
All right, take us out of here quick.
All right, this comes back to my favorite segment, which is... the Brian Roberts watch. And it's probably the last Brian Roberts watch.
Dude, break my heart. God, dagger.
Well, you've already written a whole post about it. And let's go through his last probably Brian Roberts watch and his stats. So he was 9 for 27 this week. A double, 3 home runs, 3 RBIs, a walk. I mean, we sat down last week and said, is Brian Roberts going to hit another home run? And I said yes, and you said, probably not.
And then he hit 3.
And he hit 3 dongs.
Just to spite me.
Just to spite you.
I think it's very clear Orioles baseball works very hard just to spite me. You know, Brian Roberts watch, we've had a lot of ugly ones this season, but I'm telling you, this week, Brian Roberts kind of had it going on.
You're absolutely right. Brian Roberts stepped up to the plate and played his heart out for some meaningless baseball games.
Okay. We're going to get there, and I cannot believe that you're going to call Brian Roberts' efforts meaningless.
All I'm going to say is he finally got used to playing in games that he was common to playing in for the rest of his career. So he said, I'm going to step up and be the Brian Roberts of old because these games don't matter anymore.
So you're saying that he was the Brian Roberts of old because there wasn't the pressure of working towards the playoffs.
Jake, if there's one thing I know about the Roberts family, it's all about pressure.
All right, so the Brian Roberts watch for this week. This is probably it. I hope you enjoyed it. You know, it was interesting. We were at Sunday's game for a while. We'll get to that as well. And listening to the crowd welcome B-Rob in his first at-bat was pretty cool. I think that there was enough of the crowd that put it together that this was probably the last time he would be introduced
you know, as a leadoff hitter. The 100 Orioles fans that were there gave him a rousing ovation.
They did, and it was nice.
Yes.
It was nice. The last thing I'll ask you about Brian Roberts is, I mean, where does Brian Roberts stand in, you know, Orioles history? Because he's actually up there. Just for sheer length that he's been on the team, you know, when it comes to things like doubles and plate appearances and things like that. I mean, he, stolen bases. Is Brian Roberts a great Oriole, or is he just, meh, a guy that we had once?
He will go into the Orioles Hall of Fame. But my thing...
which means nothing.
Which means nothing. But yes, he'll be one of the all-time Orioles greats. But in all honesty, he'll always be a rung lower than any other player because of him being implicated in the Mitchell Report.
I agree. And you know, I love me some Brian Roberts.
Yeah.
But you're right. That is a stain that won't go away.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'd love to be like, yep, he was one of the best second basemen for the Orioles of all time.
And he was.
But the fact of the matter is, the Mitchell Report just kills it for me. When I have to call out someone like David Ortiz or anyone else, I just have to come back and be like, well, but... You know, Brian Roberts was implicated in the Mitchell Report as well.
So. Absolutely. And it's such a shame. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Brian Roberts... Way to end on a downer.
Yeah, thanks.
Brian Roberts, it was good knowing you. Gee golly, I hope he's back. I mean, again, what are your thoughts? Back or not?
I think if he takes the $1 million salary that the Orioles are going to offer him, he'll be back.
I think he's done. I don't think he will be back.
Do you think he'll go to another team, or do you think he's done?
I think he's done.
Okay. I have a tendency to agree with you, too, which I think he's more done, and I think he's just going to go off and spend some time with the wife, but maybe we're reading the whole family situation wrong. Maybe he wants to be on the road and get on some other hot wife.
Or, you know, making more money for his kid now and all that kind of other stuff. The thing is that if Brian
Roberts... How much of the Orioles really going to give him?
Some is better than nothing.
Yeah,
and some that we're talking about for Major League Baseball players, you know, you said $1 million. I would think that that if the Orioles were to tender him a contract, it'd be like 2.5.
No way.
The thing is,
$1 million.
Brian Roberts, if he comes back to the Orioles for some strange reason, he has something. He has a legacy. He has credibility. He has some sort of currency to use based on what he did. If he goes to another team, he has none of those things. He's just an old has-been.
Yeah. There's one thing the Orioles know how to do. It's go get old players in order to fill the seats up.
Well, the thing about... And this is the only reason that I would say that there's even a chance of Brian Roberts coming back. They have to spend money elsewhere next season. There are a lot of arbitration-eligible players, like Chris Davis, like Jim Johnson, who they've already said, yes, will be tendered a contract. And I think Jim Johnson's going to cost like $9 million. They're going to have to go spend money elsewhere. And so if they're going to address things like the starting rotation or the DH spot or the outfield, whether that be Nate McClouth or whoever, they might look at Brian Roberts and say, bring him into camp and see if he can beat out Jonathan Scope and Ryan Flaherty. We'll see. And the only reason that I think Brian Roberts even has a chance of being back is if he's willing to take a cheap deal with no guarantee of not only winning the starting job, but making the club. Because Brian Roberts is not a flexible player. He has one job, and that's either to play second base or to DH.
You're right, he's not a very flexible player, but his wife... Very flexible.
You like how I set you up for that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Could have used any other word in the English language, yeah. And I gave you flexible.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. That, I think, will bring a close.
We closed Brian Roberts' watch with Brian Roberts' wife, and what a perfect way to end it.
Usually, I think that we should lead off with that, because that would make her on top.
Bazinga.
All right. That's going to bring us to our next segment, which is This Week on the Twitter. Or twat. A couple of notes that I made on the Twitters this week. First of all, we need to stop with the saying of Manny Machado and Dr. James Andrews in the same sentence.
Can we just avoid any Oriole altogether being mentioned with Dr. James Andrews?
Yeah. Regardless of context, good news, bad, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, it could be Buck Showalter wins Nobel Prize to Dr. James Andrews. I really don't care. I don't want names like that associated together.
No, it's no good. It's no good. Secondly, on the twat this week...
Unless it's Jim Palmer gets some kind of surgery by Dr. James Andrews, has come back to be the ace for the Orioles. That might be interesting.
All right, I'm liking this. I'm liking that. Picking up what you're throwing down. Also, on the twat this week, I have no idea. What is a Breaking Bad?
Seriously?
And are the Spastics going to start a podcast about it?
First of all, no. Second of all... I'm going to have to try to explain someone that never even saw The Wire to completion. So, needless to say, for an individual that just completed the season and series last night, if you've not seen Breaking Bad, go and watch it. Prepare to be amazed, especially if you're too cheap to buy HBO, a.k.a. Mr. English.
Okay, so it's a thing on the hobo?
It's a thing on AMC.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Now, if someone actually had a working TV, they could actually watch it. But some, someone has a broken mounted television in the middle of their living room, they can't watch TV right now.
First of all, it is a fine art piece. Second of all, yeah, it's busted.
That's a modern art of a black screen.
It speaks to the despair of the post-baseball season.
Yeah, it's like one of those puzzles where you stare at it long enough and then a dolphin floats out of it.
No. The problem is that my television died of a broken heart showing all those Oriole games, especially in September.
Gotcha.
All right. Moving on through the twat, lots of love for the O's as the season drew to a close. It was kind of bittersweet to see people kind of sign off for the year with a, you know, oh, great win, thanks O's, that kind of thing. I mean, it was everybody. Fans, media, hacks like us. It was really nice to see people give appreciation to the Orioles, to thank one another for, you know, being that close-knit O's online community, and that was fun to see.
Meh, whatever. Moving on.
Speaking of moving on, there was a little bit of the Twitters about the Ravens.
Okay, yeah, it was, especially about yesterday's game, I'm assuming you're talking about.
Yeah, a little bit. Here's the thing, I want to make a deal with Baltimore fandom. Can we just do that? I'm begging you here. Let's make a deal. If you feel the need to tweet something about Tyrod Taylor, I'm going to need you to take a step back away from Twitter. Come back in 10 minutes. If you still think it's a good idea, kill yourself.
Either that or have your tweet posted by the Baltimore Sports Report and be embarrassed beyond belief for being the idiot that you are.
It was funny, Zach from Baltimore Sports Report posted up the article on Baltimore Sports Report, and then he tweeted out, he said, I can't believe I'm getting such hate mail. And I was like, you know what, I'll bet you those are really well thought out, well constructed emails with fantastic grammar and spelling. Turned out not to be the case. Who knew?
WNST Baltimore.
Another question.
Except at night or when it's cloudy.
You done?
I'm done.
All right, last question about the Ravens. How much can we possibly freak out over one loss?
You can't. Who cares a dang? I mean, it's just one loss.
Well, Twitter can. I mean, by all accounts, the twat was crazy this week with Ravens' loss.
Meh. The same way happened this whole season, too, with the Orioles. Of, oh, my God! We lost to the Astros one game! It's the end of the season!
Are you telling me that people that write things down on the internet don't use their brains before they click send?
The whole point of the internet and Twitter is to overreact. If you're not overreacting on Twitter, then you're not doing it right.
Okay. I like that. Yeah. That's good work. All right.
It's like an AOL chat room, basically.
can we get one of those together? A nice little IRC.
Do you think they still exist?
No. Little IRC.
I guarantee
maybe?
You there's some AOL chat room still in existence.
All right. Let's go find one.
Okay.
Let's go find one. BirdLover69.
Nope. I disagree entirely. We go in there and we act like the Bloops from Arrested Development.
I have no context for what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I have the performance art on my wall. There's no way I'm going to watch it.
You can watch it on your computer because it's on Netflix and you can stream it on your computer.
You and your newfangled technology.
That's right.
That's the box I use to get Tyrod Taylor hate tweets.
Okay, that's fair. And porn, but that's another matter.
It's a completely different thing. All right.
Or with that, is it?
With that, we're going to close down the twat. That was an awkward segue. Yeah. And we will come right back to talk about 2013 and a burning question. All right, we have an important question here, Scott, to deal with, and that's the the value of the 2013 season. Last week, we teased out the question, was 2013 a successful season? With the Orioles having had a winning season, but missed the playoffs, how would we characterize that? And this week, I took that a step further and asked the listeners, the readers, how do you characterize the games that remained after the Orioles were officially eliminated on the 24th of September? Are they meaningless games or not? I encourage you all to go to birdseyeviewbaltimore.com to read what I wrote, because I'm a narcissist, but also because I think it really expands on the thoughts that I'm about to lay out here. And that's, I don't think that these last few games were meaningless. We got to take a look at some players whose fates are kind of up in the air. You know, Brian Roberts put on a show, so if he is, you know, going to be a viable option moving forward, he has something of a resume. Jonathan Scope, we got a good look at him. You know, not stellar in the field, but boy, his bat put on a show. Guys like Steve Pierce and Danny Valencia, and even Nate McLouth, who don't know where they're going to be, what their value is going to be, etc. This was five games to get a good look at them to see what was up. In 2011 and previous, we would have totally derided and mocked and said, oh, you're going to play the kids again? Yeah, of course, that's what this is about. Ha, 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 ha. But when the team is good and you need just a couple of pieces to get over the hump, I don't mind taking a look at what those pieces might be. The other thing that I wrote about was the relationship between the fans and the players and how, you know, it's cheesy and I'm a baseball romantic and all this other kind of crap, but I went to some of those games, and I saw fathers and sons, and I saw, you know, high school buddies, and I saw, you know, gaggles of girls there to have a great time and enjoy baseball. And with no hope of seeing the playoffs, there were people there that were there to celebrate the Orioles, to celebrate the season, to thank the players one last time for a good season.
Or to get a free t-shirt.
Or to get a free t-shirt, or perhaps a bobblehead.
Yeah.
But it was nice. It was nice to see. I don't think that experience is meaningless if it's the end and a very short period of the season, rather than, you know, July 5th on. All right, I've talked too much. Scott, your thoughts? Are those games meaningless?
Yes, of course they were meaningless. They weren't being played for a playoff position, and October baseball is not going to be here in Baltimore anymore. The fact of the matter is, yes, there were some diehard people in the stands, but there were diehard people in the stands when the Ravens played that opening game, too. The fact of the matter is, there wasn't a buzz in Baltimore for this team. They were too inconsistent throughout the whole season to actually generate any buzz. And frankly, the inconsistency of their play never amounted to more than, all right, the Orioles are playing and there's someone in it, but they're not playing really good baseball. Look, the fact of the matter is it comes back to this. Last April, we talked about the Orioles and Yankees, and we talked about the Orioles losing to the Yankees. Two of those games were in extra innings, and you said, oh, well, you know, at least we kept it close. And I said, I'm tired of keeping it close. I want to win now. And the fact of the matter is, yeah, we had a winning season. But I want to win now. I want to make the playoffs. I want to build on what we made ahead in 2012, and I want to win more games or at least get into the playoffs and win the division or at least get back to the wild card and host a game. Career years were wasted by Jones, Davis, Tillman, Machado. Are we going to see, you know, similar performances? It's a possibility.
Highly unlikely we see that from Jones or Davis again.
Well, Jones I think is a possibility that we'll see similar performance, but Davis probably had a career year that we're not going to ever see again. And it just shows what happens when you don't do anything during the offseason. The Orioles didn't go out and get anybody during the offseason. And they came back this midseason and made a bunch of trades. But those trades were for middling players that didn't really have a successful impact on this team. I'm going to come back to a point that I'd like to make, and I think it just summarizes up perfectly, is this is what Buck Showalter said on Sunday after the end of the game. He said, on the fans, we don't take it for granted, and what happens is my dad was never a great patter on the backer or whatever. It was just expected. But every once in a while, he'd say, I'm proud of you. And them showing it today, that's the way of saying they're still proud of this team and the competitiveness that they've had. It's frustrating for our fans not to get what we want to get. But I think a lot of it they want for the right reasons. Because they knew that our club effort was, and sincerely wise, was worth it. And that's what's frustrating. It's not always fair. So Jake, here's how I'll go with this. Was this season not successful? Absolutely, it wasn't successful. But was it a good season? Absolutely. Was it frustrating? Yes. Was it not fair? Yes. But so is life. Life sometimes is not successful, but you build on this moment and you try to come back the next year and make it better.
All right, I have no idea how you put a positive spin on no, this is not a successful season. Yes, this was a successful season.
No, it wasn't.
Yes.
No, successful season is winning the championship.
Yes, and one team, is there successful by your standard?
Yes.
Was 2012 a successful season for the Orioles?
No.
You're full of crap. 2013 was an exactly a successful season. This is why. It was the second consecutive winning season. I don't want that to be missed. This was a second consecutive winning season. The Orioles went 85-77. No, that's a far cry from the 2012 performance. But it proved that 2012 wasn't a fluke. It proved that we weren't going to go back to 1998 to 2011. We weren't a laughing stock of the league. The Orioles were mathematically in the playoff contention until the very last week of the season. And frankly, for all that time, from 98 to 2011, I would have killed for that. So to tell me that this is not a successful season is crap. And you're right. You're right. We had great stride from young players and guys that had career years that we'll never see again. But some of that regression that we will see, and I agree it will happen, some of that regression that we'll see will have guys go from terrific, amazing seasons to just pretty damn good seasons. Chris Davis may go from 54 home runs to 45. But you know what? I'll take 45 home runs and 90 RBIs from a guy that's going to be in the middle of our order. Adam Jones may not hit 30 or 35 or whatever it is again, but if he hits 28 and drives in 90 runs, I'll take that from a guy that's going to be in the middle of our order. Chris Tillman was screwed out of a 20-win season. What if he's only a 16 or 17-win guy next year? Legit. You know what? I'll take it. Jim Johnson had 50 saves this season. He also had a crap load of blown saves. You know what? If he has 37 saves next year and not so many blown, I'll take it. We have a lot of room to grow with this team, and I hope that the Orioles don't make the same mistake of standing pat. The only valid point that I'll give you is that you said that we paid the price for standing pat, and when we made moves at the trade deadline, we didn't make any impactful moves. Michael Morse wasn't a guy that was, you know, going to help us. K-Rod was useless because he wasn't bolstering a bullpen. He was basically trying to keep it from falling apart. But setting your bar so high for success means that you cannot take any joy out of the game. And frankly, that's not the kind of baseball I want. If perfection and a world championship or no less was the only way that I could enjoy baseball, I'd be a bandwagon Yankees fan. And that's not what this is. This team is going to struggle, and they're going to fight, and they're going to claw, and it's not always going to end in a World Series. But I have no problem being proud of my Orioles for the 2012 series. And this series, this season was frustrating, but I have no problem with being proud of them now either.
All right, can I knock that soapbox away from you now?
Yeah, I'm going to just shut up for a minute.
Okay. Look, I'm not saying that I'm proud or anything like that. Again, I come back to the old Buck quote. I'm very proud of this team. But the fact of the matter was, this was not a successful season. I'm very proud of this team. I'm very proud about how the future is unfolding. And I'm glad that Buck Showalter is our manager. But success is improving off of what you did last year. The Oakland Athletics did that.
Let's see where that takes them.
Well, let's see that where that takes them. But they proved that they weren't a fluke by going to the playoffs again this year.
If that is the bar that you set, you are going to be disappointed more often than not.
Hey, I'm an Orioles fan, so I'm used to it.
You might as well be disappointed anyway. All right, I think this is one of those deals where we're going to have to agree to disagree, because I think you're crazy, and I'm right.
So can I drop the spiel now?
Please.
Okay, yeah, it was a successful season. Moving on.
I love that we go through the whole bit, and it's like, all right, are we done? Are we done? Can we drop that?
Yeah, it was a successful season, everybody. No. If you don't think it was a successful season, I'm going to smash a bottle over your head and then stab you in the eyes with it.
Wow. Are you Sweet Pea?
Possibly. All right, moving on. We'll be right back. I want to talk about this past week where we went and saw a lot of baseball games, a lot of meaningful baseball games. Oh, wait, meaningless baseball games due to this very successful season. Oh, wait.
non-successful season that the Orioles had. I'm really confused now. I'm going to have to take a quick break and get my head resituated off and figure out what character I'm playing right now.
Refresh your drink.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
You know, if you break my heart, I'll go. But I'll be back again. 'Cause I told you once before goodbye, but I came back again. I love you so, I'm the one who wants you. Yes, I'm the one who wants you. Oh, 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 you could find better things to do than to break my heart again. This time I will try to show that I'm not trying to pretend. If I ran away from you, that you would want me to, that I got a big surprise. Oh, 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 you could find better things to do than to break my heart again.
All right, so there's a lot of meaningless baseball games this week, but in all honesty, I gave the flack a lot to Baltimore fans last week, but Baltimore fans did come out this week and support this team. And yes, there were a lot of red fans in the stands, but...
it's because they were winning.
Okay, but seriously, in all honesty, the Orioles fans did turn out pretty well this week, where they easily could have just been like, eh, the season's over, big deal, so what, who cares?
Yeah.
So, kudos to the Orioles fans, but it was a busy week, not just for them, but it was a busy week for us. We went to a lot of baseball games. We went to Thursday night's game, which was the t-shirt giveaway. I got a t-shirt. Did you get a t-shirt?
No.
Wow.
I know that's shocking.
Yeah. We went to Saturday's game. There's no giveaway during that game, at least not to my knowledge.
You gave away your dignity. Does that count?
A little bit. And then we went to Sunday's game, and there was the bobbleheads. And did you get a bobblehead that day?
I did not.
Well, neither did I. So that was like probably the first promotion I didn't get.
Can I get some cool points? I also went to Wednesday's game.
Wow. There you go. Did you actually show up on Masson?
I did.
Wow. Congratulations.
I went to 4 of the last 5 games.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah. You really were expecting a better week this week, weren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit.
So what was your favorite moment for the entire week?
You know, actually, Sunday's game presented so many challenges. And here's the thing. I took my 3-year-old son, Henry, to the baseball game on Sunday, and it was like a cool father-son thing. It was the first game that was just the two of us, but a 1:35 game is right smack dab in the middle of nap time.
Yeah.
So like, I was already, the cards were against me.
Yeah.
We went and we hung out. You and your daughter were there.
Again, right in this middle of nap time, since she's a 3-year-old as well.
So we did some playing on the playground, bounced in the bouncing castle. Okay, the kids bounced in the bouncing castle. Yeah. They wouldn't let me in.
I wonder why.
But so we went back to our seats, and we had pretty good seats. My wife had traded in some vouchers for us and gotten us...
After talking with your ticket rep.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that. She had gotten us some seats in section 16, which sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
Except we were sitting in the equal access row at the end.
Yeah.
And we sat next to some people who had some health challenges, which is fine for an adult, but really distracting for a 3-year-old. And then we sat right behind a row that was filled with a trailer park, and so the hair was really difficult to see over. So it was just tough. It was tough, and Henry wasn't digging it after a while. And so in the fourth inning, the bottom of the fourth inning, the Orioles are down by 5 runs. We're getting no hit.
Right.
And, you know, I can't see very well. Henry can't see. He's laying on my arms. He's tired as hell. And he looks up at me, and he says, "Dad, I'm tired. I want to go home." I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do this to myself. I'm not going to be miserable. I'm not going to sit through Red Sox fans taunting me. I'm not going to sit through trying to keep my son's attention away from, you know, whatever's sitting around us. I'm not going to have him cry and do all this nonsense just so I can get to the very last bit of the game. We're just going to go. So I actually ran into you on Utah Street in the same circumstances,
yeah, I basically came to you. I did the same basic day at the ballpark with my daughter. It was pretty much the first time that me and her had gone by ourselves. And it was go play in the bouncy place in the playground and then go upstairs, get a hot dog, a $5 hot dog, $5 and a quarter hot dog, I'm sorry, and go and eat that. So we got that.
By the way, our granola bars were free, bitches.
Yeah, well, we brought granola bars, but we couldn't have granola bars because we had to have a hot dog that was $5 and a quarter. So we proceeded to get ketchup and do the national anthem, and she said the O very loudly. Good for her. Positive point. Got back to the seat. I said, here, let me give you the hot dog. And as a three-year-old, of course, she says, well, I can do it. So she grabs the hot dog, and instantly it hits the ground.
Oh.
So I just brush it off a little bit and say five.
And this is what you can do when mom's not in the ballpark. That's
right. So she finishes up the hot dog, and we sat there for about a half an inning, and it was actually when it was first and second, and Chris Davis had come to the plate. I'm like, all right, we're going to get something going here. And she says, Dad, I need you to use the potty.
Ooh.
Oh. I was like, can you not hold it? I think to myself, oh, wait, she's being potty trained. She's not wearing a diaper. Chris Davis is going to have to wait. Let's get to the bathroom.
Can I just interject for a second? Because I had a similar experience. And taking a three-year-old into a public restroom at a stadium is kind of like saying to someone, we're going to enter this leper colony, and I need you to not get leprosy. It's like, don't touch anything. It's filthy. There's no good way to not be horrified.
Sorry, I'm going to have to trump you on this, because you don't have to go in there with a child that says, Daddy, what's that?
Well, she's certainly not used to seeing anything from you.
Zing! Zing! But she is used to seeing it from your son. Zing! Wait.
Damn it.
Anyway, came back, found out the Orioles had basically squandered their opportunity. And
I'm
still
shocked.
And had no hits. And sat there for another half an inning and watched the Red Sox score a few more runs. And promptly at the bottom of the second was told, Daddy, I want ice cream! Kicking and screaming, kicking and screaming.
By the way, our granola bars, free as a bird.
Again, had granola bars, just didn't want to eat them apparently. Which prompted people that were sitting in your seats to promptly look at me and give the discerning eye, and me to look at them and say, these are my season tickets, go F yourself. But the people that were sitting in front of us that did have season tickets turned around and looked at us, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, there is a scene occurring here. I'm going to take her out and get ice cream. So we go out and get ice cream. Another $5 down the drain. She takes one bite of it and promptly says, I'm done. So Dad has to eat the remaining ice cream. So we go back to our seats, and then I have the same instance of what you had, which was, Dad, I'm tired. Can we go home now? And she literally falls asleep in my arms while I have to carry her downstairs, and I tell the guys, we're not going to be back. So I made it through three innings in the stands with only pretty much one inning in my seats.
Good work.
Yeah.
Good work. The day got more horrible.
Yeah.
And this is why. I carry my 35-pound hunk of son back to the Penn and Pratt garage, get him in the car, driving along. He's woozy. I don't know why, but I turned on the ball game as if things were going to get better. And then they did.
Yeah.
And as I drove home, the Orioles came all the way back from a 5-0 deficit to tie the ball game. At which point I just thought, they do. They do this despite me.
Yeah, I believe that someone said walking out of the stadium, they're going to get no hit today.
I did.
Yeah.
I was a little sour as we left the
really?
Ballpark.
Really? A little sour?
It was the last game of the season. Things are going awful. I was just like, what a perfect punctuation mark for the end of this season. Failure on the dad-son day. Failure at the ballpark. Red Sox fans laughing in my face. Of course we're going to get no hit by a nobody. Why wouldn't that happen?
Right. But they come back and they win the game. And miracles of miracles. Jim Johnson gets his 50th save. And overall, if we could have actually stayed at the ballpark, things would have been a pretty good day.
And I'm sure for some people, it was a great day.
Yes. I bet for a lot of Baltimore fans, it was a great day for those that went to the Oriole game. Now, those that actually stayed at home and watched the Ravens, well, shame on you. You should have met the baseball game.
Yeah, that's karma. Even better day than Saturday than Sunday. I want to talk about Saturday's game.
Okay.
Now
you're gonna have to fill me in a little bit.
You had quite a time on Saturday's game.
For those that don't know, I had my birthday a few weeks ago. It was my 29th birthday, so not a big monumental day, but everyone surprised me by saying, hey, we'll meet you at a bar, and we're going to take you to a baseball game, which, you know, good for them. I think there was other reasons why they wanted to go to a baseball game other than my birthday, but still, good for them.
So, Scott did some charity work and Bible study at the bar before we left, and had trouble spelling his own name and walking.
I'm surprised they let me in the stadium, personally.
So, Scott was yelling things that no person should ever yell. We weren't in our regular seats, thank God. We were upstairs. We were
324? Is that
326.
Right?
We were surrounded by Red Sox fans.
Was it really that bad?
It was pretty bad. Yeah. There were Red Sox fans in front of us about four rows deep.
Can I give you some words of advice?
Hmm.
Don't have, like, four beers and like a bunch of shots with an empty stomach, because that's what I did.
You kept saying, let's have another scotch, and then drinking yours and half of mine. It was a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I think I did do that, actually.
No, I'm telling you, that's what happened.
What can I say? Your dad's a bad influence on me.
So there were Red Sox fans everywhere. And in 326, they didn't know how to sit down. And I don't know if this is like a cultural thing, that they do this at Fenway, but there were three rows of Red Sox fans. There were obviously some sort of group there together. And they kept milling about in their seats, standing. And I may have also had a few too many. But we started yelling at them to sit down because they were blocking our view of home plate and they were blocking the view of the O's fans sitting directly behind them. I may have pointed out that one particular man would have been better off if he were thinner because his standing wouldn't have been an issue. But you took it a step further, I thought, where you reacted to their Boston Strong shirts by rooting for...
I don't know. What did I root for?
You rooted for terrorism.
Well, I just figured, you know, a big enough explosion would clear out the packs.
Yeah, you definitely yelled out that you were in support of terrorism.
I don't recall this happening, so...
You yelled out many things that night, and that was one of them.
I know I yelled out bandwagon.
You did.
Multiple times.
Yes. Yes, you did.
There was even a caricature made of myself.
Yeah, this is the other weird thing. This is the weirdest night ever. We sat next to some cartoonist who was wearing an O's hat, and he was sitting next to a Boston fan, and he was basically caricaturing our row the whole night. Me, my wife, Scott's wife, and it was basically just huge word bubbles of whatever drunken thing came out of Scott's mouth, and just really ridiculous.
So what were the top 30 things I said? Bandwagon had to be one of them.
A terrorism.
Go terrorism.
Oh, and the best thing... You went down and gave a rousing rendition of the letters. O-R-I-O-L-E-S.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay. I've been thinking about this through my head because I knew I did this. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things that's actually stuck in my memory. Even everything else is a blackout at this moment. When I got down there and did the letters, did I do them the right way?
You struggled with E.
Yeah.
Everything else was picture perfect,
okay.
But you struggled with E. Like, you didn't know what to do with your arms and your legs.
Yeah.
And you were almost sure you had the right direction. Only on E. E was the only one you struggled with.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to help.
Yeah. To be fair, for as drunk as I was, I think it was a rousing success.
Yeah, it was a great success. And it shut up some of the fans.
Yeah.
Some of the Red Sox fans.
Needless to say, it put Bert to shame.
No, it was Matt.
Oh, it was Matt. Well, Matt... Yeah. Matt's a dyslexic fool as it is.
Matt
so.
Was not drunk enough. I think you just showed that in order to go and give the letters as they are designed... Booze is required.
All right, so Shiroka boys, drink some more. Try to work on your livers. Well, actually, don't try to work on your livers because you're going to need to be even more drunk. So I don't know where that came from, but get more drunk.
Saturday was an absolute debacle. I
think our wives are still upset with us.
It was really rough. But the rest of the week was rather nice. Sarah and I went to Wednesday's game. It was just the two of us. We sat right next to the bullpen, actually. It was kind of cool. A couple home runs got hit near us. Thursday, we all went and sat upstairs. That was a nice game. And then Saturday was an absolute debacle, and Sunday was short and cruel. But hey, that's the way an Orioles season is. A little bit of good,
a little bit of good, a little bit of bad,
a little bit of tragic. It's just how that happened. our week at the yard, I think, was a pretty good representation of the season. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait to do it again next year. I think at this point, it's 182 games until opening day. And the best part of that, Scott, we get to take on the Red Sox.
Well, that's true. But that's not the best part of this week. Do you want to know what the best part of this week was?
Lay it on me.
All right.
And I just gotta keep insisting, oh baby, you sure do swing.
When it comes to kissing, I just gotta keep insisting, oh daddy, you are the king.
Baby, you've got me beat up and down, inside out and across.
That's right, Jake. You are the boss for the 2013 season. Congratulations. Well played.
Scotty Tuhati, was that the melodious sound of the Brian Setzer Orchestra?
Yes, yes. Rub it in, rub it in. But to be fair, I made it competitive. And honestly, based off your whole spiel about at least we have a winning season, this should be right up your alley.
No, I'm actually going to give you credit on two fronts. First, that was an amazing run. I think it was five straight weeks worth of wins. And second of all, you totally laid it up at the end there with a cheap stat rather than going for something crazy sabermetric. So
right.
I'm going to say I feel like you did a really good job of laying down on the grenade and just, you know, like hoping. So
I think we set up a good stat that it was difficult for us to pick who would be the best one. And it was 7-5. Brian Roberts, the sentimental pick, won over Nate McClouth. So tip the cap to you. You are the fantasy boss for this season. Your trophy is in the mail. It can be redeemed for a 1/100th of a cent.
Nice.
And congratulations.
Fantasy boss, you know, this has been a good segment. I when we originally came up with this, I wasn't sure it was going to work. If nobody else likes it, you and I get a kick out of it every week because somebody gets to gloat every week. And I really think that's what sport's about.
But just because Fantasy Boss is over for us for the fantasy baseball season doesn't mean that you can't go and participate in other fantasy segments on FanDuel.com, who is the official sponsor of Fantasy Boss.
Look at you! Yeah, FanDuel's pretty cool site. We've plugged it here. This is our Fantasy Boss sponsor. We highly encourage you. And look, this is not just for the incredible gamblers out there. This is for the everyday guy like you and me that doesn't drop a ton of cash on sports. It's a fun game. Look, you can throw down $1, $2, $5, no money, and you can actually make real cash. It's a good deal.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to gloat no more. Fantasy Boss is over. We will start again in the 2014 season.
But for right now, I think we need to cover who was good and who was bad and who was ugly for the last week of the 2013 season. So, Jake, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Spoiler alert, Saturday night, you were ugly. That's right. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. And Scott, for the meantime, I think this is going to be our final good and the bad and the ugly until the 2014 season. As usual, I'm going to go first only because I like to let you have the last word because I suck at this and you don't. So with that, I'm going to go into my good. And my good for the week was Miguel Gonzalez. Miguel Gonzalez, one of the guys that I think needed to make a statement moving on to next season. He had a good week. He was he appeared in one game. He started one game. He got the win. Seven innings pitched. Two hits. No earned runs. Five strikeouts against one walk. In my world, that's a good start. And that is a good week for Miguel Gonzalez.
I totally agree with you. But mine's just slightly better.
All right, let's hear it.
My good has to be, who the hell is Steve Pierce?
Nice.
Five games played, 11 at-bats. One run, five hits, three doubles, one home run, four RBIs, with three of them coming in that Saturday game. Here's the thing. Steve Pierce had a stat line of 455, 600, and 1,000 slugging, and a 1.6 OPS. Those are Chris Davis-like numbers. And even better than Chris Davis numbers is the ability to imprint a memory on my blackout state of a Saturday night, knowing that Steve Pierce was the reason that we won that game on Saturday night. So Steve Pierce, the ability for telling me, who the hell are you, and still imprinting on my memory bank is bravo. Tip of the cap to you. You get my good for the week.
Now, you won't remember this, but your wife will back me up on this. I actually called the heroics of who the hell is Steve Pierce.
Okay, you say so.
And he was good.
Okay.
Good call. All right, I'm going to move on to the bad. My bad for the week is Scott Feldman. Going the complete opposite direction. A guy who, if he wants to be picked up next year by the Orioles or any other club, needed to make a good statement, and not so much. 2.1 innings pitched, and ooh, 8 earned runs. 8 earned runs. Yikes. That is a bad week. That's a bad week. I can't gin that up in any other way. Scott Feldman needed a good start, and he didn't get it, and couldn't happen at a worse time for the Orioles.
All right. Mine is going to have to be Francisco Rodriguez.
Is he still even on this team?
That's the problem right there, is you traded away a player like Nicky Delmonico for a player like Francisco Rodriguez. He absolutely did nothing for this team. He was as effective for this team as TJ McFarland and Brian Mattis combined.
Yikes.
Just going through his stats for this week, he only pitched one inning, but I think that exemplifies it all perfectly, which is he only pitched one inning this week, which was the same as Brian Mattis, and it was less than Steve Johnson and Mike Bellafiore. You know, he just gets my proverbial bad, not so much just for this week, but for the entire stretch of his Orioles career. So, Francisco Rodriguez, I love to say that you're on notice, but it was nice knowing you.
He gone.
He gone.
All right, I'm going to move on to my ugly for this week. And my ugly is ugly on so many facets, and that's Jason Prydy. Prydy came up, and he was one of those guys that we tried to get a good look at. And he did not make an impression at all. He ended up going 2-for-10, which, as you'll know, is a 200 average, on-base percentage, slugging. And the worst thing about Jason Prydy is that he was terrible in the field. He was absolutely wretched in the field. He made more errors in a short period of time than I thought was physically possible. And maybe it comes down to nerves, maybe it comes down to poor circumstances. But again, we're getting a look at him in the major league level, and he is certainly not showing as a player that's going to be part of our future. Those errors cost us games. They literally built towards losses.
Meaningless losses.
Yes. This week, ugly.
Or is it my turn now?
Yeah, this would be where you talk.
Okay. All right, my ugly for the week is the obvious choice. The ugly for the week is myself.
Wow. This is the first. Wait. Go. I'm just going to shut up.
Okay, the fact of the matter is, I was ugly on Saturday night. I allowed myself to get carried away and become reckless in regards to how I behaved and treated fans entering into our ballpark. So I should have been, you know, a good fan and said, "Welcome to Baltimore. Come on in and sit down." Oh, who am I kidding? Enough of that. Boston fans, stay out of Camden Yards. This aspect that you are coming down into our stadium wearing shirts that say, "This is our effing city," screw you. Just because David Ortiz says it doesn't mean you need to go and get a t-shirt with it written all over it. He should have been fined. He should have been suspended when he broke that phone. And yet you marvel at him just like you did Manny Ramirez back in the day, saying, "Oh, it's just Manny being Manny." No, it's David Ortiz in his steroid ways that needs to be reprimanded, just like you need to be reprimanded for being bandwagon fans.
This is why you go last.
You fans are ugly. And when you get knocked out in the ALDS and you go, "Oh, we got knocked out of the ALDS," I'm going to be so happy. And you guys can go back to your offseason, drink
all the beer you want and eat all the chicken, or you wear your UGG boots and root on Tom Brady and say, where did Wes Welker go? You, Boston, suck. You, sir, are ugly, and you are on notice. So that's why, as you pointed out, we opened the season against the Boston Red Sox. And more so than ever, I want Baltimore fans to come out to the stadium during that three-game stretch. In fact, I'm going to make it my off-season mission to make as many people attend that three-game stretch so that we can eliminate the aspect of having Boston fans in the city. The fact of the matter was, there were so many Boston fans down here in the city that people couldn't get into the city to spend time for their anniversary, or they couldn't get restaurants, all because Boston fans had to come down and take over the city. I don't know what needs to be done, but this needs to stop. Baltimore fans, it's time to come out. Martin O'Malley, it's time to get off your butt and institute a Boston sales tax. We can call it like the Boston Tea Party tax or something, and we can charge them a $50 tax for entering into a Maryland stadium. Make it happen, O'Malley. You're great at creating taxes. Let's make this happen. Boston, should I have rooted for terrorism? Absolutely not.
Do you regret saying it?
But do I regret saying it? We'll see. So, Boston fans, you're ugly.
I'm not even sure where to go. Wow. Yeah. And that, this week, is the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that will close us out for the season. Scott, I think you've said all that needs to be said.
Yep.
I think it's time to blow a save. What do you think?
I think so.
All right, time to close the show. Let's blow the save quick. I wanted to plug an upcoming appearance on the Baltimoreans. We've mentioned the Baltimore Sports Report Network. A founding member of that network is the Baltimoreans podcast. We've had them on our show. Sam and Alan are great guys. They're going to have some thoughts on the season, and we and many other BSRN voices are going to be on there, so go check out their show this week. Just while I'm talking about the Baltimore Sports Report Network, keep in mind, they're going to keep you up to date all offseason for O's Notes, the Ravens, any of those minor sports like basketball or whatever the other one is.
The one, the black cylinder?
No, the one that play on horseback, or is it the pool? Hockey, I don't know.
Hockey,
anyway,
yeah.
Or college, even. They'll talk about...
curling, that's what it is.
Maryland Terrapins. So we definitely encourage you to go check them out. Scott, when are we going to be back?
We're going to be back in 2 weeks. We discussed this last week. We're going to do every 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about the Ravens for a brief podcast. Because, again, we're baseball fans. We're somewhat educated Ravens fans, but we're baseball fans at heart. So we're going to come and talk about the Ravens.
And we just closed out all of our segments for the year.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. So update your RSS feeds so that you can keep track of when we post that. And also update all your RSS feeds for all the rest of the Baltimore Sports Report Network, because it's more important than ever now, based off of getting into the offseason, that you keep up in contact with when the podcast initially hits so that you can be up to date with our voices.
As we know, everyone wants to hear you rant and rave about Boston.
Oh, baby.
All right. All right. Last but not least, also check out birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. You may remember last year for the 2012 season, we did a best of countdown of our top 10 moments of the year, top 10 plays, top 10 whatevers, top 10 somethings. And we're gonna back that up this year with not only our top 10 of 2013, but we're going to branch out for a top bottom 10.
Yeah, top 10 worst moments of 2013.
Top not 10 of 2013.
Yeah.
So those are going to be two separate posts. We're going to tease that out. Encourage you to go over to birdseyeviewbaltimore.com and look for that. Also, while you're at it, feel free on the show notes for this particular podcast to give us your own best and worst moment of the season, and maybe we'll agree with you.
Yep. So we appreciate you Baltimore fans for sticking with us this entire season. This ends our second full season covering the Orioles. We'd like to thank the community out there, both in terms of the podcast Birdosphere, but also the loyal fans that listen to us on their way to work or at work, or heck, when they have got nothing else better to do.
Thank you very much. We truly do appreciate it. We appreciate all six of you out there.
Yeah, I can't believe that those of you that listen, who I assume are in prison and can't go anywhere anyway, it's ridiculous that people bother to stick with us for, 50 minutes to an hour every week, and we are humbled and so appreciative. So thank you so much. We're not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 weeks, but as we close the season, it seemed appropriate to say thank you so much.
And if you don't listen to us, we're going to break a bottle over your head and step...
No.
But seriously, thank you very much.
And with that, Baltimore and beyond, for the 2013 season, we will bid you a fond adieu.
Good night, Baltimore.